The psalmist in Psalm 119 prayed to the Lord, "I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." When the psalmist talked about delighting in the commandments of God, he was talking about more than an enslaving sense of duty, just to do what God was telling him to do. He was talking about an endeared delight in the commandments of God. Endeared delight in that he was endeared to God. And in being endeared to God, he was endeared to God's commandments, which are basically nothing more than a revelation of God's will. The way the psalmist thought was, if God wants it, I want it. So if God has told me to do it, then I want to do it. I delight to do your will. Basically, that's what he was saying to the Lord. I delight in your commandments, which I love. The language of a deep affection. And he goes on to say, I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. What was he saying that for? Because it was symbolic. The raising of his hands was symbolic in reaching out for and receiving to himself the commandments of God, the will of God, which he loved. Again, the language of affection and endearment. And he says, I will meditate on your statutes. I will think about these things. I will mull over your commandments. Those things that you have laid out for us to do as statutes to be kept forever. That's how we have to pray when we come to the Word of God. I delight in your Word, Father. I love your Word, and so I delight in your Word. I love your Word, and so I'm reaching out for your Word. I'm raising my hands to reach and receive it so that I can do it. So that I can do what James says and not just be a hearer only, but a doer of your word. I want to take it in and I want to roll it over in my mind over and over again until it sinks in, until I know that it is affecting who I am at the very core of my being. It's absolutely essential that we come to the Bible that way. This is an act of love for God to speak to us, and it's an act of love for us to listen to what he has to say. So I hope you will. Back in our series on Luke, the good news of the great physician, I have to tell you that I had thought about stepping away from Luke to find a Mother's Day message, to preach a Mother's Day text. And it struck me as I was flipping back and forth through the Bible, both in my mind and actually flipping the pages in my Bible, it just struck me, look at what's next in Luke. There is your Mother's Day message. And it's just very fitting what we turn to see next in Luke's writing. Very fitting for this Mother's Day. Luke now shifts our focus to the fulfillment of what the angel Gabriel foretold about the birth of the Lord's forerunner. Hopefully you'll remember what we looked at when the angel Gabriel told Zechariah when he appeared to him in the temple, what would happen for him and his old barren wife in the conception and the birth of a son. The day of his birth came at last, with no doubt that it would in God's providence, in spite of Zechariah's and Elizabeth's impossible situation. Humanly speaking, they were in an impossible situation, but not in God's hands. Even though they were old, Elizabeth was no longer barren. And even though she was too old to conceive, much less carry a child to full term, She did exactly that. In this new section of Luke, we are going to see more of the mercy of the Lord and more rejoicing. We are going to see astonishment, reverence, and wonder over what the Lord was going to do with this child we now know as John. We are going to hear his father Zechariah prophesy some wonderful things about what the Lord had planned for him. And in Zechariah's prophecy, we are going to hear how John's ministry would lead up to what the Lord had planned for all of us down through all the ages in his redemptive work. And starting this section, we turn our attention first to what everyone around Elizabeth understood to simply be the birth of the old barren woman's son. That's as far as they saw it right here. Her community's comprehension of what was going on with her really didn't go beyond that on her son's birthday. But what a great day it was for this old new mom. To look at this, we're going to look at verses 57 and 58. The section will take us all the way through verse 80, but we will start with these two verses. So let's read them now. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. So we see that the joyful moment of truth came at last for this old, once barren woman. The time came. Luke states it so wonderfully simply. Verse 57, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. How wonderful. Yes, God miraculously opened her womb to conceive, but even after that, she was still old. For her to conceive took a miracle, but then she had to endure the pregnancy, right? And to endure the pregnancy was one thing, but guys, to carry to full term and survive giving birth was quite another. And she did. But there she was, at last, holding a son in her arms after so many years of thinking she never would. Try to put yourself in her situation. Try to think yourself into her experience. That's why it's there. Luke wrote these things down for us to look in and share them with those that went before us so many thousands of years ago. Let's join Elizabeth in her story. Let's join her in her joy. The whole neighborhood did. The wonderful word got out, verse 58. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. Of course, at this point, Elizabeth's seclusion was over. Luke told us in verse 24, that after the days of Gabriel's appearance and announcement to Zechariah, Elizabeth became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. So, about 4 months into her pregnancy, which would have been probably about the time she started showing real well, she locked herself away. She secluded herself. Why? Well, she just wanted to be discreet. That's the way I see it. I don't see how else we can understand it. She wanted to be discreet. This was a big deal, and she didn't want to be walking around with people ogling at her. What's going on with you? There's no way you're pregnant with a baby. Is there something wrong with you physically? You have a health problem, a tumor or something? She wanted to be discreet. So she secluded herself, and now her seclusion was over. I'm sure you can imagine all the buzz going around as word spread from house to house. I mean, we can imagine how it went. Of course, they didn't have phones in their day. There was no texting. Nobody was getting on the cell phone shooting pictures. It was word of mouth. Somebody was there to help her have the child. There wouldn't have been a hospital stay. It was no doubt delivered in-house. She delivered in-house. Probably had a lady there to help her through the process, and maybe two or three others there helping out. And somebody finally said, okay, he's here. Placed the baby in her arms and turned and said to somebody, go tell everybody what has happened. And they hit the street. They started spreading the word, house to house. And notice what the word was. This cannot escape us. The word was this: the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her in giving a son to her. So here's the word that was being spread. You've got to hear about what the Lord has done for Elizabeth. Let me tell you about the great mercy that the Lord has displayed for old Elizabeth. Yes, Elizabeth. Yes, the old one. Yes, the one that cannot have children, just had a baby. No, I didn't know about it either. I didn't even know she was pregnant. I just found out today that she was pregnant, and now she's given birth. You've got to come see this. Imagine it. The Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and that was the message being spread all around town. Look at what the Lord has done for this old, barren woman. It's incredible. It's amazing. First, the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her in opening her old barren womb. That was right up front in their minds. Her neighbors and relatives understood the great merciful miracle the Lord had given her. She only conceived because the Lord mercifully made her conceive. Don't accept any other so-called natural explanation for this. She conceived because the Lord made her conceive. There was no other method. There was no other explanation. There were no fertility doctors. There was no in vitro fertilization. There were no fertility pills. Not only was she barren, she was old. She was beyond the age of childbirth. If she had been able to have children, she could no longer have been able to have children by now. She had already been through menopause and that whole process. She was way beyond the years of raising children, much less getting pregnant and having a baby. The Lord did this supernaturally. They understood that. To borrow from the words of David in Psalm 139, the Lord formed her son's inward parts and knit him together in her womb. The Lord fearfully and wonderfully made him. His frame was not hidden from the Lord when the Lord made him in secret, intricately weaving him together in her depths. The Lord's eyes saw his unformed substance. The Lord did this. It was a supernatural work of God. He displayed his great mercy in that first. Second, the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward Elizabeth in preserving her old body through her pregnancy and birth. I can promise you that had not escaped them either. No doubt if that was a midwife that was there helping her, the midwife was shaking her head in disbelief. I cannot believe I am delivering a baby for a woman this age. And successfully. Mama's healthy and the baby's healthy. Speaking from a purely natural perspective, I don't think I have to tell you, the risk of complications was enormous. Enormous. Guys, it would have been The risk of complications would have been enormous even in our own time with all of our medical advancements. Even today, there are clinics, there are OBGYNs who will not deal with women over a certain age. I read on the internet, some of them cap it at 50, some of them cap it at 55, and almost every one of them say, after 40, forget it. The risk of complications was astronomical. But we're not speaking from a purely natural perspective, are we? From a purely natural perspective, it was quite dangerous, but we are not speaking from that perspective because she was under the Lord's supernatural care. Not only had she conceived because the Lord made her conceive, she carried to full term and she gave birth because the Lord saw to it that she could. Kept her and her baby boy perfectly healthy. The importance of this truth would have been monumental in the mind of Luke, the physician. Remember, who's writing this down? A doctor. This would have been huge in his mind. What the Lord had done for Elizabeth was monumental to all of her neighbors and relatives, and they were rejoicing with her. This was a celebration. The Lord had blessed her, and this was a time to celebrate. Talk about a happy Mother's Day. Think Mary or think Elizabeth was having one? Absolutely. This was a very happy first Mother's Day for Elizabeth. I like to think about it. It gives me joy to think about what this must have been like for her. No matter how anybody else takes the text, I find a lot of joy in these two verses. This is very sweet to me. Very sweet to my spiritual taste. To think about her experience. And the fact that she had all her neighbors and relatives. Maybe they weren't all gathered around her right at the same time, but you can see the picture, them coming in and out, the crowd coming and going, and just celebrating, rejoicing with her. He made Elizabeth a mother, taking away her disgrace and replacing it with great delight. She had talked about that. Luke records how she had talked about that earlier in verse 25. This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor on me to take away my disgrace among men. That's what she said after she conceived. Imagine what she was thinking when she was finally holding that baby boy in her arms. The disgrace was gone, replaced with great delight. The old barren woman who would have died childless would now live the rest of her days with her child. And guys, the emphasis of their rejoicing, listen to me, was not in the identity of her son, because they didn't yet know who her son was. Don't miss this. We've got to learn to see what's there. This is not an accident that his placement of these verses is not an accident. The way he's telling the story is not an accident. The emphasis of their joy, of their rejoicing, was not in the identity of her son. Their rejoicing was over the fact that she had a son, a child. Do not let this escape you. They didn't know who he was. Not yet. So the emphasis was on the gift of her baby. A gift from God. This is so critical. They were rejoicing. Which means, guys, she wasn't grumbling over the difficulties of being an elderly mother with a newborn baby. And no doubt they were there. No doubt she was going to face those. It was going to be a normal childhood for this boy. She was going to have to deal with all the normal ups and downs of raising a child and now having to do it as an elderly woman. But she wasn't grumbling about that. And they weren't groaning and feeling sorry for her. Nobody was standing around with a scowl thinking, oh my gosh, what is this going to be like for her? A baby at this age? Are you kidding me? It's not how they thought. A lot of people would have thought that way today. That's not how they were thinking. Her son was not a newborn burden, but a newborn blessing. She was not holding a bundle of sadness and depression. She was holding a bundle of joy. Truly. As they gathered around her while she held him, they weren't thinking about the sleepless nights or the hand washing of the dirty diaper rags. They weren't thinking about the clothes she wouldn't get to buy or the trips she wouldn't get to take. They weren't trying to hang a price tag around her son's neck for what it would take to raise him. Well, you're going to eat up your retirement from the priesthood. Hope you understand that. Your nest egg just fell out of the tree. They weren't thinking that way. And God bless them for it. I shiver at some of the things I hear people say about children today. Guys, this wasn't a time for worrying or regretting, but for rejoicing, because that child she held in her arms was far more precious and valuable than any earthly possession. Amen? Far more precious and valuable than anything in the market she wasn't going to get to buy now that she had to pay for raising a son. She didn't think twice about it. They were rejoicing, celebrating on her happy Mother's Day. Solomon reminds us in Psalm 127:3, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Every time. I don't care what the circumstance. A baby is never a burden. A baby is a gift from God. Elizabeth and her neighbors and relatives believed that her son was a gift of the Lord, a reward as the blessed fruit of her womb. I hope you believe that too. I hope this resonates in your heart. Mom, Grandma, I hope you're rejoicing in what the Lord has given you in the gift of your children and grandchildren. If you are a mother, let us all rejoice with you for the mercy the Lord has shown you. Because if you're a mother today, He has shown you great mercy. And we celebrate that on this Mother's Day. This Mother's Day, I hope you can celebrate the gift God has given you. Just like Elizabeth, her neighbors, and her relatives did on this great day for her first Mother's Day 2,000 years ago. Let's pray. Father, how wonderful you are. That's where we have to wrap this up. Their rejoicing was ultimately pointed at you because you gave the gift of this baby boy. And ultimately on this Mother's Day, just as Elizabeth and her neighbors and relatives were rejoicing and celebrating on her first Mother's Day, this day we rejoice and celebrate our mothers. We rejoice and celebrate our children that we believe are gifts from you. And so we rejoice in you. We worship you, and we thank you for your great mercy that you have displayed toward all of us. May we remember it every time we look in the faces of our children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.